So, I have the great honor of introducing someone who I'm sure is well known by most of this house, but not all of this house, okay? And so that's Caitlin Jenkins, who is a true daughter of Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship. There is a significant number of you who have known her from the very beginning, okay? A couple people right here who have known her literally from the very beginning. And so for those of you who don't know, for the last 2 years, in a month it'll be 2 years exactly, Caitlin has been serving as a missionary in Mozambique. I believe at this point most of you have met her because she's been home for about a month. But if you haven't, you hear us talking about it every month, her face on pieces of paper that I encourage you to put on your fridge and to pray for her. Caitlin has desired to serve the nation of Mozambique since she was 13. And it was such a delight in 2023 to send her out to step into what God has called her to do and put her heart to do for over a decade. And so I, out of the elders in the house, Ron and I are the newer ones to Shepherd's Heart because we moved here in 2016. And that's when I got to meet Caitlin. But I really got to know her after she moved to Mozambique. After a couple months there, she reached out to me and just said, hey, I need more connection with home. And so we started meeting together over FaceTime. Most weeks we meet together and chat for about an hour. And it really is a pleasure to hear her heart for Mozambique, to know, like, to be able to say as her pastor that she is absolutely where she is supposed to be able to go, oh man, look at week after week after week, hearing testimonies, hearing struggles, hearing her just what God is calling to do her to do, how she's answering that call when she's weary and how she digs in and presses into the Lord. It is a delight to see. And I am so thrilled for her to come and to share the word with you tonight. It has been over the last 2 years, hearing what God teaches her, praying with her, getting to open the word with her, hearing what she shares. Week after week, she leads a discipleship group with young adults in Mozambique. She does one-on-one discipleship with women in Mozambique. And this is not an easy place to serve at all. It's one of the poorest nations in the world. And it is rough. If you've never been outside the country and you've never been to a nation that doesn't have a Christian heritage, okay? It's a lot. Okay, we sit together and she's like, okay, so this happened. These witches did this. This demonic thing happened. This spiritual thing happened. And it's like, hey, but the Lord has equipped her, right? Like, I don't even have more to say about that. We sit on FaceTime and she's like, so, and we get to unpack that. But really, 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 I'm really excited to hear tonight what God has given her for her to share with us this evening. And I'm just going to encourage you. I don't know. We don't normally do this, but if we could just welcome her as she comes.
Bless you. Thank you. Wow, that was such a beautiful introduction. Thank you, Val. Very generous way of putting, I just need more connection with home. No, it was, it's crazy here. Can I tell you about all the crazy stuff? Because I need someone who can take it. Val said, yeah, I got you. I will take it all. And she does. So I just want to thank the elders. Thank you, Ron, worship team. You guys are incredible. Like she said, born and raised in this house, and it's a beautiful thing to come back here now after 2 years and be behind this pulpit. It's not an honor I take lightly, and I'm so grateful for the support that all of you have given me. I wouldn't have made it this long without all of you behind me, sowing into me prayerfully, financially, all of the things. Every message, every email that I get from you that just kind of helps on the harder days, I'm really, really grateful. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Like Val said, I was called a long time ago, way back when we were at the elementary school. And they were sharing short-termers from the Dominican, and something about it, I just knew I wanted to be a missionary one day. Then again, when I was 13, looked at my best friend, Natalie. Thank you guys for coming out. And I said, I'm going to live in Mozambique one day. And the story that made me want to live in Mozambique was when the short-termers were all dying from malaria. And I heard them recount that. And I just thought, yeah, that sounds so cool. Sounds so cool. I've had it 8 times now. Not cool. Very, very not cool. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful even in the times and following down the path that the Lord had laid for me. No matter how hard the enemy tried to knock me off, that I was able to stay committed. It's only through his grace and mercy that I was able to complete this call and live where I do today. In the stories of our lives, the Lord weaves a really beautiful tapestry, right? We use that analogy a lot in this house. And nothing you can do will make the tapestry of your life ugly. He will still weave a beautiful story. He will still make everything work together for good because we love him. So whatever mess you're in tonight, whatever situation you found yourself in tonight, I just feel on the Lord's heart to remind you that he's weaving a beautiful tapestry. If you just need to hang in, hang in. If you need to hang on to his hem, hang on to the hem of his garment, because he will weave something beautiful out of it, no matter how dirty, how ugly, wherever you are, wherever you think you are on the path of the will that he has for you. Amen? Okay, I'm used to dirt floors and bamboo walls, you guys. Metal roofs, much simpler. Please talk back to me. Give it back. I go amen, you say hallelujah, okay? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I need the talk back. I'm not used to a quiet environment at all, at all. It scares me. There is nothing quiet about living in Mozambique. So I'm going to do a little bit of recapping, a little bit of my story. I'm going to tell some stories and I'm going to preach because I was asked to preach tonight. Is that okay with you guys?
Yes.
All right. So everyone has asked me what was the hardest part about moving to Mozambique. And like some days you might have asked me and I would have said language. Like language was difficult. Culture was difficult. Like witchcraft was difficult. You know, what we encounter. But actually, it was perpetually remaining crucified to the cross to cultivate and inhabit a secret place with the Lord. Okay, so remaining dead to my flesh and my desires and what I think is the right way to do things in my Western mindset, and instead picking up kingdom values daily and remaining dead to my flesh and remaining rooted in the vine. Because it can get so easy to just do, to like do the next like goodish thing on the field. Like, okay, we're bringing food to this person. We're going to the hospital. We're going to the prison. We've got a disciple who needs counseling. In the go, 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 it can be so easy to forsake my original calling and purpose. And I just feel a word really heavy on my heart for the West that we can breathe and not make it so complicated. My word for you tonight is to stick to the simple gospel. So I'm going to preach the simple gospel because I have clung to it this year, day in and day out and night in and night out and the night watch and the morning rising. The one thing I can come back to is the simple gospel. And that's that our purpose is to be in a relationship with the Lord. It's to know him. Okay. There was a garden. There was Adam and Eve. Okay. And the original purpose was for us to walk with the Lord. I'm so sorry, camera people. I can stay closer to the middle. I'm so sorry. Was to walk with him day in and day out, to stay with him. And the thing that came in was sin that separated us. And the only solution to that was perfection, was Jesus. So Jesus came and he restored the gap. Okay, we know the gospel. We know this. But sometimes everything just gets so confusing. In the day in and the day out and the working and the grind, it can just feel so swirly. I don't know if anyone relates to that. Can you guys feel that? Yeah, we get stuck in that swirl in the American dream, in the raising of families, in everything that you're doing day in and day out. And the swirl is valid. I want you to hear me. It's real. And the enemy would love for the swirl to bind you up so that you can't see his face, so that you can't pray, so that you can't even find his garment to hang on to it. He would love to just get you all bound up. And I feel like that was his tactic these past 2 years. If he could just stress me out with enough things left, right, and center, then maybe I wouldn't have time to hear the rhema word from my spirit that lives inside of me, from the one who I'm yoked to. Okay. So, you guys know I came back last year after about a year in Mozambique. And first year, I would say, like, on the long-term path is, like, it's fruitful, but, like, you're learning so much. You, like, have so much to learn. It's not even funny. Whole new culture, whole new way to look at time, whole new way to communicate, to dress, to honor people, like, literally everything, guys, okay? Language, all of it, okay? All brand new, and you got to work from the bottom up. And I had a full-time job to learn from the bottom up, which is finances and accounting in another culture as well. So we really started from zero, other than I had Jesus. So I came back last year, and that was the plan, sort of. It's like 2 months every year or 4 months every 2 years, just for longevity's sake. And when I came back, I had a significant surgery. About halfway through my first year, I started hemorrhaging significantly. And to, like, speak for the medical system in Mozambique, I'll just say we don't really have one. Like, I minister in the hospital every week with the disciples, and we're talking, like, cockroaches running around the floor, like, no sanitation to be found. I just want you to think of, like, what you think is in your head, and then maybe make it a couple times worse. And that's probably the reality of our medical system. So, praise the Lord, I have finances when the Lord gives them to me. And I was able to, you know, receive basic ultrasounds. And I needed a surgery. So when I came back on furlough, thank you, Jesus, I was able to get that surgery, and I'm back healed and whole. But by the time I got back to Mozambique last year in February, all of furlough had kind of been spent on, like, healing from what is the equivalent of a C-section, right? So major surgery. And I kind of got back to Mozambique with the team, and I realized I had spent so much time in the swirl. I had spent so much time focused on my physical health that maybe instead of starting front forward with the Lord and with intimacy with him, I was back, maybe just a little notch. Not a huge backslide, but enough that I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Because we started our week-long fasting for the year, and the team was coming in with all this vision. I run with an incredible, beautiful team that does more in a day than I can even wrap my mind around. So, you know, they're coming in. Eric's like, three crusades. Elena's like, we're going to go to all the provinces and do audio Bible seminars. And Peter's got plans to go all over the world. And I was there. So, you know, I was doing stuff. I was fasting. I was praying. And we were, you know, still ministering and doing all of the things that we needed to do. And I could only hear two things from the Lord in all of that. And it was that I'm not done in Mozambique in 1 year. Okay? That's very evident. I'm obviously going back when my 2 years is up. And to take on women one-on-one so we don't lose them. That was literally the wording I got from the Lord. And that made sense to me, okay? I'm gonna have to give a lot of cultural context. I promise we're gonna open a Bible. Just stick with me, guys. So women in Mozambique, it's a very patriarchal culture, okay? They are the keepers of the house. They raise the children. They cultivate the fields. They are what keeps Mozambican households running so that the men can be out and working. A lot of temporary work going on. And usually, women will be married off quite young and perhaps not to the best match to fulfill a dowry payment. So a woman gets married off and the family produces a very hefty list of things from the man's family. And what I've heard is that a long time ago, normally that would be used to bless the new couple. That's how it started. It started with an intent to bless a new marriage. And unfortunately, the enemy is really good at twisting things, and he would love to ruin covenant marriage. And now it's more of a cost for the woman. It is a cost, and it goes towards the family. So I was like, okay, yeah, Lord, like, so we don't lose them. So we don't lose them to marrying young. So we don't lose them to the influences of culture. Like, yes, Lord. And little did I know. We'll get into that. So I know some of you heard the story, and I've got so much more tonight. So we have this word in Portuguese. And also, if anything just comes out of my mouth first in Portuguese, just give me a second. My brain will rewire. I'm about 90-10 Portuguese-English these days, so I haven't preached in English in a long time. So this word is permanecer. And when my brain goes English to Portuguese, I'm like, oh, to permanent. Because everything comes from Latin. And it kind of is that, but it's to remain and to abide and to stay and to keep. And that was kind of my word for last year. To just abide in the Lord, to stay in him and to keep him as I went into this last year. So let's open our Bibles. We're going to be in Colossians 1, 9 through 13. So we're going to read this in its entirety, and then we're going to break it down. We're going to go verse by verse and kind of word by word. We're not going to be opening a ton of scripture tonight. I just love to tell stories. So let's open. Did I say Colossians or Corinthians? Praise the Lord. Colossians 1, 9 through 13. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Okay, so yes, we're going to start here in verse 9. So, we don't know a lot about the church of Colossae, but this was the prayer for them, that since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Yes, we should pray and seek the will of the Lord, but he is not always going to make it known to us. Amen. Amen. Some of us say it through gritted teeth. Some of us say it with a loving smile. It's a reality that sometimes we just don't know what he's doing, and that's okay. For now, I'm going to tell some stories about when we like sort of know what he's doing. Like you've got the little piece of the puzzle, and I just want to encourage you that when he gives you a piece to just run with it. Just really boldly run with the little bit that he gives you because he's worthy. Even if you fall on your face and you got to like crawl to the puzzle to get it in to where it belongs, he's worthy of the crawl. Okay. And he will get the rest of the pieces in the puzzle. Okay. So the only thing I knew, right? My little puzzle piece at that point was to stay. You're staying longer than a year. Don't know how long. Don't know. Please don't ask me. I have no idea. And to take women on one-to-one. So I did that. Okay. What I did get was some very specific days and things that, happened. So first I'm going to tell a story. We were in a week of fasting, and I think this was the year before last. So this was 2023. And I was like very new to fasting. You know, you remember the days where you just don't know what you're doing. And yeah, bless it. All fasting is good fasting. All sacrifice is unto the Lord. And he's worthy of that too. And I was on day 5. And I woke up. And you guys, I'm going to just keep it real. I don't have another setting anyway. I was like, Lord, you just got to give me anything. And I'm like laying in bed. I'm like, anything. What do you got? Please, anything. You know, super holy like that. And I get a picture of a yellow shirt. And I wasn't very respectful about it to, you know, the sovereign Lord of the universe. And I said, great, a yellow shirt. Thanks, Lord. Am I supposed to wear it? Am I supposed to look for it? What are we doing with a yellow shirt? And I just get out of bed and go about my day. And I'm like, yellow shirt. Not respectful. Don't even know what I'm looking for. I had to go to the bread store to get some bread for one of the families on base. And there were no yellow shirts. There were none in the market. No one was wearing a yellow shirt. No yellow shirts to be found. And I went through the day, okay? It was not a great day. It was a Thursday, I'll tell you that, because we were at the hospital. And it was also one of those times where I'm with the disciples and I'm just like, you guys, I don't got it. It's all you today, okay? Like, I'm here, we're together. Also, help. So we get to the hospital and it's like, up until that point, one of the hardest days of ministry ever. For the first time, someone had declined to hear the gospel, which is wild because Mozambique is a yes culture. Even if, like, you're not a part of that faith, you will, like, listen to what they have to say and then just gently decline at the end. It's a very yes culture, shame-based, big stronghold fear of man. So, like, normally you get a yes to anything, then the problem becomes discipleship after. I'm gonna stay focused, though. So I get my first decline of hearing the gospel and we're going room after room and there are no healings. And like we depend in the miraculous in Iris. Like we cling to and expect miracles to happen and they do because he's faithful. So like not even a tummy ache getting healed, not even a toothache feeling better, no headaches are going away. And I'm like at the end of myself, which is like a great place to be, but I was not feeling it. And I was with my good friend, Debbie, and there's like one more room. And I'm like, I can't. Can we please just go? I'm not feeling good. I'm 100% over it. And he's like, he pokes his head in the last room. He's like, come on, there's just one guy in here. And we walk in and wouldn't you know, he's wearing a yellow shirt. Because when we run with the peace he gives us, he's faithful to bolster our faith at the last second. Because let me tell you, I didn't have any faith. Zero. Like probably in the negatives if it could be. And that man was wearing a yellow shirt. So we go in. He's been in bed for a month. He can't walk. He stopped going to church. I knew enough at that point, like what questions to ask. So like, hey, what happened a month ago? His dad had died. He participated in a very strong witchcraft ceremony to protect him from the spirit of death in his family and had not been able to walk since. So we preached the gospel. He's like, yeah, I know all that. I used to go to church. And I felt burning around my waist. And I asked him if the witch doctor had given him anything. And he lifts up his shirt. He goes, yeah, I have this little cord to protect me. I'm like, but you haven't been able to walk since you put it on. He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So, you know, walked him through all of that. And he cuts off the string. He renounces everything. And he gets up out of the bed and he walks. Because the Lord is faithful. When you're upset and you're angry and you're fasting and nothing fruitful seems like it's happening, he'll work with the peace that you give him. Amen? So sometimes we don't understand what he's given us. I didn't understand what a yellow shirt was at 6 a.m. that morning, but I did by 6 p.m. And he made it really real to me. So when I knew I wasn't leaving Mozambique in a year, and I knew to take on girls one-on-one, I just took on all the girls in the group. There were only 3. I was just like, hey, you want to come over and have your nails done? Girls will talk about anything if you're doing their nails. And it's like my ministry with the girls now. And they came over and It was an extremely difficult thing at first because language, right? Language and culture. They would just talk so fast. And I remember I went to Elena. God bless Elena. She's longer term than me. She's been on the field about 5 years. She's my buddy and co-lead. And I said, I can't do this. She talked so fast. I think I understood approximately 3% of the conversation. And hopefully that was just my Portuguese because I don't know what she said. And she sits me down and she goes, you can't give up now. You have to keep going. Because if you give up now, you'll never get there. And I was like, yes, big sister, you are right. So I kept going. And when the Lord asks you to do difficult things, I'm just here to tell you to keep going. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Your head's going to hurt. You're going to cry sometimes. Just keep going. It will get easier. It doesn't stay that way, but you have to grit down and keep going. So I did, right? I did. And, you know, I would go to their houses, have lunch with their parents or their kids, depending on which of the girls I was with. And we just started doing life together. They'd come to the hospital with me. We'd preach at the prison together. Just bring them along. That's the only thing I knew about discipleship. Just come on, let's go. We're going to the market. Let's go. And one day after volleyball, one of our young men comes up to us. And he's like, hey, I got to talk to you and Elena. We're like, oh, okay, no problem. And I hadn't seen the girls in a couple of days. They didn't come to volleyball. And I'm talking about the younger two. I do have permission to share their names in this story. So it is Raquel and Anna. And he comes up to us and he goes, hey, don't worry. And the second your small group leader hears, hey, don't worry, we're going to start worrying the second those words come out of your mouth. Amen? So, hey, don't worry. Like, Navish, like, what? What happened? He goes, don't worry. I just want to let you know that Anna and Raquel are on their way to work in China. So I whip my head at Elena, and I'm like, did I just understand that Portuguese correctly? He said the girls are going to work in China, where there's more jobs and more citizens to fill those jobs than anyone would ever need. And my stomach sunk because I immediately knew. I hadn't worked so long on the field that I had worked in human trafficking yet, but there I was, and the night begins to unfold. That the girls were offered a job 3 to 4 months prior, and their passport came in on Sunday, and they went to the city the night before. And on Tuesday, they were in the air, and they were on their way. And suddenly, I was angry about the word that the Lord gave me because my brain was already so far ahead. My brain was like, they're trafficked. They're in China. Like, they're gone. They're gone. And so begins a series of events of the Lord proving his faithfulness when we stick with the one piece of the puzzle. And one of the girls, thank you, Holy Spirit, started to feel really uncomfortable at the city, Maputo Airport. And she suddenly felt like she had to escape before getting on the plane. So she and one other girl, who I don't know, but we also got her back home to Dondo, they left. They got on a bus and they didn't look back. And when I finally called her, she sent us the picture of the visa and her passport and the flight information so that we could still get Anna, because Anna did get on the flight. Because of a lot of extenuating circumstances, I can see how it went that way. Anna has less opportunity, less siblings, things like that. So we find out it was a 30-day visa. It was a 30-day visa for Laos, not China. You know, all of the Iris family bands together. We're calling Ethiopia Airport where she's going to land. And then suddenly Tanya goes, oh, Samuel, the evangelist who's coming to preach at the Crusades, is in Ethiopia. His flight got canceled this morning. Let me give him a call. We call him. He has the same gate as Anna. His flight is the one right after hers. And he gets to her. Because she doesn't speak anything other than Portuguese and Sena. So how would anyone communicate with her unless we had boots on the ground? And the Lord made sure that we had boots in that airport. And he got to her and we explained and we said, hey, at best, this is a job and you're gone for 2 years. Are you really, really willing to do that? And we talked through all that. And then we explained what at worst really meant. and we've got kids in the room. We don't need to go there, but we all know what that meant. And she didn't get on the plane. And she came back. And now I've taken her to the bush, and we've done audio Bible seminars, and we minister together, and the Lord is faithful. When he says, you take them on one-to-one so we don't lose them, you take them on one-to-one so you don't lose them. I didn't understand, thank you, the gravity of what that meant, but he did. He knew that it was their lives on the line. So thank you guys for who gave. It was so much money, but nothing for God. And we got him back, and we got him home. And they're doing great. They're doing great. I just talked to Raquel on the way over. She's working on getting into a nursing school, and they're doing great. So when we have a little piece, we have to run with it. Because there, I'm going to say it, there could be lives on the line. Okay? When we are obedient to the Lord, he will entrust lives to us. So I began to seek the Lord on the other half of the only things I knew about 2024, which was you're not done in a year. The whole take the woman on started to make sense as the year went on. And I only got like a few parameters for how I would ever know if I were to come off the field or move location without a standing word like that, right? Like, without a rhema, I have a word to move to Dondo, super specific. If I don't have that, what can we look at? So I got four things as parameters for our spiritual health and walk to assess where we are in our lives and helping us discern if we are best, like bestly, is that a word, most best? Let's change the structure. That was Portuguese English. I'm so sorry. If we are doing our best to walk out the will of the Lord in our lives. Yeah, that's really not a word. It sounds like a word. Bestly should be a word. I'm so sorry. To like the fullest and the best measure. Okay, because it's kind of like a scale. There's good, better, and best. And I think unfortunately a lot of times we settle for good. But we want best. Amen? All right. So in seeking the Lord, I kind of got these four things. To pursue a sin-free life, to be bearing fruit, to do a good work, and know Jesus more every day. That these are four fundamentals. The first three kind of flow out of knowing Jesus more every single day. They end up being an overflow. But I want to talk a little bit about these four things. And they come out of Colossians 10 and 11, which, you guys, I didn't know. I was sitting with Val in my living room, and I'm like, hey, I got these things. And I'm like, is that in the Bible? And she goes, yeah. And we went through a few, and she read Colossians. And I was like, oh, it's in the Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's real. So to live a sin-free life, there is no condemnation. Those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. Throw off what hinders. Throw off what hinders. And if there, whatever the sin issue is, stop looking at it. It's the best advice Ron ever gave me. Changed my spiritual walk forever. Don't look at it. Don't pay it any attention. If it happened, don't pay it any attention. You focus on Jesus. You focus on him and you seek his face because he is the only one and the only way that you will be able to stop doing that thing. Okay? Throw off what hinders. Bear fruit. Let's open to Galatians 5:22. So I feel like we can take bear fruit in two different ways. So one is just like mechanical that kind of goes into good works. Like, you plant a seed, you bear fruit later. I am going to talk about fruit out of Galatians 5:22 to make that distinction. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, verse 23, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We know this verse, these verses really, really well. This fruit is eternal and not dependent on your circumstance. Okay? fruit is eternal and not dependent on circumstance whatsoever. So when we look at this fruit, this is best. This is best. To be loving all of the time, to be joyful all of the time, to be peaceful all of the time, to have all of this fruit all of the time. And let me tell you, I am not fully there yet. Amen? Yeah. But that's best. That's what God wants for us. And I'm gonna hit some stuff because I love you. Okay? I love you guys with my whole heart and I'm so grateful for you. And there are some things that grieve me that I have learned on the field and facing some of the scariest things of my life. And we're just going to hammer home that it's not based on circumstance. Okay? If you lost your job, you can still be fruitful. If everything sucks and everyone in your family is sick and literally dying, you can be fruitful. It seems like everything is falling apart at the edges. This fruit is based on eternity, not on your circumstance. When I was really, really sick and hemorrhaging, my iron was so low. I was lightheaded all of the time. Literally, Val and me were, coming up with parameters, what would it look like if, okay, this is when we have to get out tomorrow. This is, what an airlift would look like. We literally had to come up with all of these things because it's, I don't have a surgery center to go to anywhere nearby. I need to go to another country. And we were just, looking at that casually all of the time. And I had some doctors come, and they gave me some injections. Good friends, not Mozambican doctors. I trusted friends down the street instead. And they said, you need to go home. They were like, you need to go back to America. You can't stay here. And this was in early November. And we still had a whole mission school to complete, 26 days of hosting internationals and all of this stuff to do. She's like, you need to go home. This is our medical opinion. You go back. I said, I'll take that into consideration. Thank you. When David was in the cave in 1 Samuel 24, we don't have time, so we won't go there. David's men encouraged him to kill Saul. And they used a word of the Lord. They used a word of the Lord against him to do something, to try and get him to do something that was not the will of the Lord. And there are people in our lives that sometimes, even using a word of the Lord, using their best judgment, using the best of everything that they have in them, will give us advice that is not actually the will of the Lord. And we need to know what he's spoken to us. And he spoke to me November 28th. So I said, yes, Lord. And magically, spiritually blessed in abundance, I was fine until I got home. The hemorrhage stopped till I landed here in Rochester and I was able to get a surgery. So our lens is not from our physical eyes. The lens at which we look at our circumstances, it cannot be here. It needs to be from seated in heavenly places, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That's our lens through the fiery ceiling in heaven at looking at everything. Because when we try and look at it from here, from this body, from this understanding, from this circumstance, we will not have a full picture and we will not discern correctly. We must remain in him. And we stay rooted to the eternal one and we bear fruit regardless of circumstance. Now, a good work is so many things, okay? We preach in this house, there's a good work ordained for every single moment, and I agree with that. There is a good work that I can do in this moment, okay? It's number 3, yes. Thank you. Oh, so good. I love you guys. Okay, so, yes, take note. So good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Culture shock moment. So, good work is what it sounds like. I'm going to read some of the definitions that come out of the Greek words used here. So good is of good constitution or nature, useful, good, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy, excellent, distinguished, upright, and honorable. And a work is that which anyone is occupied, that which one undertakes to do, an enterprise, an undertaking, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind, an act, deed, thing done, and the idea working, which is emphasized in opposition to that which is less than work. So there's a good work. All right. A distinguished undertaking, an honorable occupation, anything that is good with the Lord's definition of good, eternal, fruitful, that we can do. Sometimes I am burning witchcraft barrels at Crusade Fields and casting out demons, and the lame are getting up out of their wheelchairs and walking, and deaf ears are being open, and that's my good work for that night. Okay? Praise the Lord. And then sometimes the next morning, I'm like sitting with a widowed mama on a straw mat under a tree and practicing my tribal dialect. That's also a good work. Okay? We can't do comparison in the kingdom. Okay? We have to look through the Lord's eyes and live what he's called us to. And every day it can look different. Maybe your good work for tomorrow is to go to work and to smile at your coworkers and to encourage them. And when everything is stressful and chaotic, that you're the anchored one, and then they can ask you why. Okay? So what it's going to look like for each of us is different. Can I run 5 minutes late? Epic. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to plow through. We're on Mozambique in time tonight. Amen. All right. I just have a few more stories I want to tell, and I think they're going to bless you, and then I'm going to wrap up. So thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and I feel so at home right here right now. I was so nervous that like the lights would stress me out and like all the things, but he's so faithful. So, I mentioned that we do crusades, and I just want to explain a little bit of logistics, because I was a naysayer at the get-go. I was a little bit of a doubter. I was like, what do you mean 30,000 decisions for Christ? That's impossible. How are you going to follow up with 30,000 people? Well, there's a way. So our director goes in a couple months before, anywhere from 3 to 5 months, depending on the city, and he starts coordinating with every single church in the city. If they preach the gospel, just the true gospel of Jesus, they can be on our team. That's it. We don't distinguish between denominations. We don't go search out any of them. If you're part of the body of Christ, you're part of the body of Christ, and we would love to partner with you. So in one of our cities this year, our list was almost like 100 churches, and then in the smaller city, it was more like 50. So he goes in, and he's running leadership seminars and trainings and all sorts of conferences leading up to the crusade, so that by the time we get there, there's a worship team mobilized, there's a publication committee, there's presidents, executive presidents, sorry, I'm translating everyone's name badge from Portuguese. There's like the dance team, the deliverance team, the security team. All of this comes from the volunteers in the churches, and they've been equipped on how to handle all the new converts. So by the time the international team actually gets there and gets on the ground, we've already gone and done trainings and everything. So we get there a little bit before the four nights start. This year we did a parade through the whole city to excite people to come to the crusade. It was so much fun. Everyone's like coming over and saying hi, and they all know who you are because there's big posters with Eric and Samuel on them telling you to come to the crusade field. So they knew when we drove into town because the demoniacs came and threw things on our car, and they knew we were there. So we do all of those things. And then on the field at night, you get a Now That You're Saved book if you raise your hand and you make a decision, and there's counselors in the field, and you fill out this card, and it's got your name and your neighborhood and your phone number. And we get two copies of it when we hand you a book. One goes to our team, and one gets distributed to the church in the closest neighborhood so that they can then follow up. And we give phone credit to all of the churches so that they can make calls to everybody, hook them into cell groups, small groups, church services, vigils, all of that. So once I got to see it in person and then saw Eric go multiple times after crusades to do extra seminars, it really started to click that a decision made in a moment involves a lot of discipleship after. And I have watched our team run all year long from this event that runs for 4 nights. In the morning, we do fire conferences for all the pastors, all the leaderships of all the churches, and they come in. And I also believe that's why we see such fruit, because it's all of the body of Christ there in a regional area coming together for the purpose of seeing people saved. In 2 years, out of all of our evangelism, a huge chunk is going to be crusades. We just see a lot of fruit from that, but also preaching the gospel on the way to the bread store, stopping in the hospital for the one. We saw over 24,000 decisions for Christ. In 2 years. So last year, it was 7,000-ish. This year, it was like 16,000-ish, 17,000-ish. I'm not doing math. Sorry, I'm an accountant. Don't hold me to it. And we're seeing this acceleration, because the year before that, it was also in the single thousands. Because of all of us missionaries coming to join the base and saying yes with our little piece. Someone comes and homeschools the base leader's kids, Amelia. She's incredible. But she has to spend 8 to 4 in a classroom with the kiddos so that Tanya can do more, so that I can go disciple the youth and I can do finances so that her and Eric can do more things. And it's, we're seeing this unity in our team to pick up all of the small jobs to free people to walk into their calling. And I'm here to tell you today that no job is too small. If you're an admin, if you're working at a drive-thru, if you're whatever it is that you're doing that you're like, this is not as epic as that, it is. And it's just as vital in the kingdom, because this 24,600 decisions for Christ didn't happen without you right here praying for me. It didn't happen overnight, and it took years. I'm so grateful. So number 4, to grow in the knowledge of God, which to me is to know Jesus more every day. That's my purpose. When we're lost in the sauce, when we're just like, I don't know. There's so much to do. It's like you wake up and then you just think about everything you have to do for that day. And you're just kind of like paralyzed for a second. Breathe, breathe. He's with you. And yeah, we got stuff to do, but our purpose is to know him. Yes. Let's take it back to the garden. It was to walk with him. Yeah. Jesus came to make that possible again. And then Colossians 1:11, we're going to flip back there. We kind of worked our way through 9 and 10, that you would live a life, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and then being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. It's not by me that any of these awesome testimonies happen. Praise God, because I would fumble it. I am weak and incapable most days. And I'm just going to share some of the, like, thank you, Jesus moments from this year. Like, it's, he gives us these things so that we would walk in power. So that the man on the crusade field who hadn't spoken in a year from a stroke could come up and sing praises to Jesus on the microphone. So that the mama who hasn't walked in over a decade would throw her walking stick into the barrel to be burned, saying, I don't need that anymore. So that the deaf ears, the nights there was a word of knowledge, that we had a line longer than we could even test and count, over 30 people saying that they hadn't heard in X amount of time, we're all hearing and passing hearing tests. That drunk person after drunk person going into the deliverance tent, leaving in their right mind, sober and whole again, so that we would walk in things like that. But it doesn't happen overnight. And we've got to say yes to the little puzzle piece that he gives us. We got to run when he gives us a vision of something, a yellow shirt. Take him on one-on-one. Yes, Lord. I say yes to this puzzle piece for today so that he can work the rest around the edges, so that he can fill it in. He can weave the tapestry It's not up to us, and I'm so, so grateful. It's up to him, and we can rest in that. And I just want to be clear that these four things are not to bring condemnation. I look at these often with the Lord. Lord, am I bearing fruit? Am I staying joyful and peaceful in everything that's before me? Am I knowing you more? Am I doing what's good? Am I staying away from those vices, from those sins that cause me to be distanced from you? And we got to be honest. We have to be so honest. Because if one is lacking, something is out of order. And it doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God, but it means that something has to change. And we have to be willing to do that change if we want to be in his will and do everything he's called us to. Sometimes it's a little bit of spiritual discipline change. Sometimes it's whatever he says. But when one of these things isn't growing and isn't remaining, we can trust that he'll reveal to us how to make that grow and how to make that remain. So I'm going to close. Keep the main thing the main thing. Love Jesus. He is worthy of every single decision card I've filled out in the past 2 years. He's worthy of every night I cried. He's worthy of the physical challenges I faced. He's worthy of the girls preaching in the bush with me because I said yes to a little peace. Amen? Okay, I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you have called us to abundant life. I thank you that there is good and better and best, and that you have called us to the best, that abundant life means choosing the best. And Lord, I ask that you would help us, that in every heart, even now, you would begin working to reveal where things might be a little out of order. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to be honest, help us to choose you, Lord, that we would do every good work that you've ordained for us, Jesus. We are so honored to know you, and we love you, Jesus. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And Lord, where the things are out of order, where something is weaker than another, I ask that you'd give us the game plan. What's got to change? What's got to move? What do we have to do, Lord? Because we say tonight that you are worthy of everything and that we will run with the peace that you've given us. So we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name.